Some reporting from two fronts of the escalating trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration ratcheted up the trade war yesterday, promising a 10% tariff on an additional $300 billion worth of imports from China. Trade negotiations with China haven't been making much progress of late, and President Trump said yesterday he's ready to turn up the pressure further still.
And this can also be lifted ultimately in stages, or it can be taken off. But it can be lifted in stages. So we're starting at 10%, and it can be lifted up to well beyond 25%.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. What are some of the products that'll get the new import tax?
Well, David, consumer products, which had been largely spared from the tariff war. So things like cell phones, electronics, toys, household appliances, books, and shoes.
All right. And when would these tariffs take effect and potentially lead to higher prices?
Well, President Trump says they'll take effect September 1st, which is right before U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators are supposed to meet in Washington. A U.S. trade delegation just got back from China. But Trump says China hasn't lived up to its promises to buy more U.S. agricultural products, stop exports of fentanyl to the U.S. And while a 10% tariff may not seem like much, the president has a history of raising them, as we just heard, and President Trump's tariffs announcement comes just a day after Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the uncertainty caused by the trade war is causing weakness in the U.S. economy.
How big of a burden would these tariffs be for shoppers here, do you think?
Well, the New York Fed studied the 2018 tariffs, and remember, those mostly did not target consumer goods. They were imposed on things like machinery China shipped to U.S. manufacturers, and the New York Fed study found on those tariffs found they cost the typical U.S. household $419 per year.
Per year. Nancy, thank you. From Washington to China, more specifically one of China's major industrial regions in the southeast, where we find Marketplace's Jennifer Pak today. Hi there.
Hi, David.
We catch you reporting today in Guangdong Province, which is where, turns out, so many of the Chinese products that Americans buy are made. This trade war is escalating. That is the news here. What sort of preparations are companies there making as this plays out?
Well, most manufacturers we speak to, they're trying to upgrade to produce more profitable items. Others in the low-skilled end of manufacturing, well, they're trying to reduce their costs. And a big part of that is labor. So they're trying to automate or move production to cheaper places like the interior provinces in mainland China or lower-cost countries like Vietnam.
So you mentioned these various strategies, turning to automation, moving some work to Vietnam. Does that mean that Chinese businesses have found a way to actually mute the effect of tariffs, that it's not that much pressure being applied?
Well, not exactly. Companies that are selling to China, they're still expanding in this market. But the operations where they're exporting to the U.S., then yes, some of them have moved their operations out of China. But even then, let's take the shoe, for example. Most of it is now being made in Vietnam and Cambodia, or a lot of them are. But the components that go into a shoe, I've heard about 50 or 60% of those parts still have to come from China. So you really simply cannot cut China out of the supply chain. What the tariffs do is speed up what the Chinese government has wanted, which is to move away from cheap manufacturing.
Is there pressure, though, rising from Chinese businesses to ask the government there to do some dealing on trade, given the yoke of some of these tariffs?
Chinese businesses have very little influence over the government, right? And a lot of times, in fact, the topic of trade or even trade war have become censored terms on the internet. So people here, by and large, are keeping quiet. They don't want to delve into politics. They are just keeping their heads down and just trying to survive.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak, who's reporting in the industrialized Guangdong province. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Checking markets, the FTSE in London is down sharply, 1.7%. Here, S&P futures are down 0.3%. The Dow future down 0.2%. Interest rates, the U.S. 10-year benchmark way down, 1.85%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We have not been languishing in the summer doldrums when it comes to economic news this week. Lower interest rates on Wednesday, and today the numero uno set of government statistics for the month, July employment and unemployment. We'll be watching closely to see what those reports say about raises. Wage increases, never all that much in this long expansion, have been flagging of late. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that story.
Wage growth peaked back in February, up 3.4% from a year earlier. That was a post-recession high. Since then, it's fallen back to around 3.1%. Mark Hamrick at Bankrate.com says as job growth slows, there's a bit less competition between employers, so they don't have to boost wages as much.
I do fear that we've seen the best of the wage gains for the U.S. economy.
Businesses may be holding back on hiring because of worries about trade and global growth. Adam Rosten at staffing firm Blue Crew says it's still a tight labor market, so employers are dangling benefits other than cash.
Be more flexible about hours, offering greater variety of schedules.
Economist Janelle Jones at the Groundwork Collaborative says there haven't been a lot of high-wage jobs added since the Great Recession.
We're really adding low-quality jobs that fall at the bottom of the distribution, jobs in fast food and retail.
She says workers in those occupations don't have a lot of leverage to press for big raises. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We are also following layoffs at the home improvement chain Lowe's. There's no comprehensive number yet, but Lowe's has reportedly been laying off thousands from its 300,000-strong full and part-time workforce. Lowe's is getting people off its payroll and will subcontract for things like janitorial and other facilities management. The Wall Street Journal quotes a Lowe's spokesperson suggesting this will let the remaining employees focus more on customer service. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. Our intern is Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.